Wasn't it a joy to hear those young people sing? And may they sing all their days for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm always blessed to hear boys and girls sing. And you know, the Lord is blessed to do that, to hear them sing. In fact, the disciples, when little children were gathered around them, the disciples rebuked the little children. And Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And what a great blessing you all are doing here with boys and girls, and that's a great joy and a great ministry. Let me say, since this is, the last service of this conference and my last opportunity to speak, let me say again thank you for the great place to stay and all of the wonderful meals. I'll tell you, they talk about Texas barbecue, but we had real barbecue today for lunch and all week long. Marvelous meals. I'm going to go home. I feel like I've eaten so much, I feel like a beached whale, I'll tell you for sure. My pleated pants are now plain fronts as a result of eating here this week, and I have enjoyed myself immensely, and I always feel like that when I leave here that I've been more greatly blessed than I have ever been able to be a blessing. I also want to thank you for your fellowship. This really is a wonderful, wonderful home place, and I want to recommend it to you. Feels like a home away from home to me. We've been here many, many times just on vacation. In fact, we were here this past summer on vacation in the services for your God and Country Day. Wonderful things that go on here. This is a great church. This isn't like this all across America. You begin to think that every church is like this. It's not. I appreciate so much Dr. John Reynolds and his friendship, his dear wife Becky, and their family. They mean the world to me. I was about to make a phone call the other day, and I thought, you know, I ought to get a little advice before I make this call and end up regretting it. And I called Dr. Reynolds, whom I consider to be my mentor and helper and giving me advice. And he said to me, "I don't believe that I would make that phone call," and I didn't. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:24, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." But I value his advice, and you ought to value the counsel of your pastor and talk to him. And I count him that way in my own ministry and life. And he's been a great blessing to our church and a joy to have many, many times. In fact, I've invited him for our 38th anniversary that we'll be having in November. 38 years since I started Temple Baptist Church. I was young and dumb when I started Temple Baptist. Now all that is left is the dumb part. And want him to come and bring a message on salvation. Crystal clear, he brings it in such a great way. Now, you West Virginia, Kentucky fans, don't get nervous, all right? We're going to get out of here long before tip-off. Is that what they call that in basketball? And you can tell I'm not a basketball player. I used to have a gymnasium, and when we had a gymnasium for our school, and I would get on one end of the court, and they'd go down the other end. I'd say, "Y'all come back now here," and that's the way I played basketball. And but we'll be done long before that. You've been a great congregation. How many of you have been for you've heard every message? Anybody like that's heard every message? All right, a number of you. God bless you. You're true road warriors, I'll tell you for sure, because we've traveled from city to city, haven't we? Y'all started in Galatia, and now we're finishing up the book of Colossians, and this is, of course, a marvelous book. And one of the particular things that about the epistle to the church at Colossae is we think that it was a place the Apostle Paul had not ever been to. And, in fact, he references that in the chapter 2, verse number 1, those that have never seen him in the face. And he speaks about, you ever hear somebody say, "Well, if I can't be there, but I'll be there in spirit"? He said that in Colossians 2, verse 5, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit." I always like flesh and blood rather than ghosts, all right? And so it's always a joy to see people, but sometimes people can't make it and their hearts are there. But Colossians chapter number 4, And I'm going to, there's so many things, this chapter is so full of wonderful names and wonderful helpers, but I want to give you just a couple of things. Of course, he covers servants as he has done in Ephesians chapter number 5, and masters, and do right by that. So then we have three things I'm going to give you here tonight very quickly in this chapter. First of all, I want you to notice the request given in verses 2 and 3 and 4. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. I often say, if everything is already settled and set, why do we even need to pray about it? And we understand that prayer does move the hand of Almighty God. And prayer is so very important in our lives and in our ministries. And Paul is requesting and for supplication upon his behalf that a door of utterance would be opened. Now, don't ever imagine that everything is settled. You know the old song, que sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. I heard of a Calvinist the other day, fell in the middle of the road, broke his arm. He got up and said, boy, I'm glad that's over. And, so oftentimes we get the idea, well, what's the use of praying? Everything's going to just be the same anyway. No, it's not. You can get answers to prayer, and we believe in prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ephesians 3:20, unto me whom he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Our Lord himself said, Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, them that seeketh findeth, them that knocketh it shall be opened unto him. And actually, in the original there it is, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, and knock and keep on knocking until either God changes your prayer or the answer comes. What a blessing it is that we can go to God in prayer and seek the face of the Lord, and he wants that. Now, it's a prayer, of course, is based upon principles laid down the Word of God. James said, James 4:2, be ye have not because ye ask not, ye ask, receive not, because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your own lust. And so we understand that prayer isn't just like rubbing a genie bottle, like you can just ask for certain things and everything's going to come. It is in the will of God. In fact, our Lord said, John 14:13, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. You see, a lot of things we pray for won't give us fullness of joy, and we want to pray that certain way. And so Paul is asking for prayer here, that a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as ought to speak. Pray that this church will have doors of utterance to be opened up so that God can use this church and every church that preaches the gospel in a greater way. Pray for every missionary that you support, that doors of utterances will be opened for them, that they can preach the gospel, many other avenues and means and ways. You know, I call it trot line fishing, get hooks in the water where we can have an open door of utterance, where we can reach our city and reach our county and reach our state and reach the world with the gospel. That's really the prayer that's being prayed here, or a request for prayer, prayer for supplication, that you would supplicate to the Lord God about the need, and to pray that God will continue to bring in new folks all of the time, that doors of utterance will be opened up right here in this area, right there in the Mobile, Alabama area, and over there in Kentucky, where we've been a lot of Kentucky bashing going on here today, and in Indianapolis. And, you know, I really don't care about this tournament so much. You know, we had, Texas had five teams in this tournament, this in the parentheses, all right? Five teams in the tournament. We all got knocked out the first day, all five of us. So I really don't care, be honest with you, after this. But, You know, we really need to pray that God will bless our ministries, and you have the missionaries that you show while offerings are being taken, and pray that God will give them a door of utterance to be able to be greater used and in a mightier way. Never, let us never be satisfied with where we are. May we want to reach more. If there's still some, and there are millions and literally billions who have never one time heard the gospel message, may we never be satisfied as long as there is even one who's never heard the good news that Jesus saves. And so it was a request was given here. Pray for missionaries. Jesus said, Matthew 9, 7 and 8, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Make that a matter of prayer. These young people here, oh, they could shake the world for Christ one day. And I don't think that God wants every young person to be a missionary, a pastor, evangelist, or pastor's wife and evangelist wife and missionary wife. I understand that. But I do think that we ought to be willing to offer our children and our grandchildren to the possibility that that's what God would want them to do. Had a man in our church one time, his son wanted to be a youth director, felt like God was calling him to do that. And he just said, no, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do it. Don't ever let there be a parent discourage their children about the will of God, whatever that may be. In fact, the safest place for your children and your grandchildren is in the center of God's will, even if that means darkest Africa. And so pray, just pray that God's will be done, and what a great blessing that is. So we have a request here. Secondly, we have a reminder given to us here in verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now that's a good admonition for all of us, a reminder about that. Make what you say palatable. You know, you don't just have to say everything that's on your mind. I had a lady one time visiting our church. She'd been there about three times. She came back one. She said, I'm going to give you one more chance. And I said, well, that really blesses me to no end. And I hope I strike oil this time. And, you know, we need to make what we say so kind and so nice. Sometimes people are not that way. In fact, Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 7, 21 and 22, he said, take no heed to all words that are spoken, lest you hear your servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. You see, we want to make sure that our speech and what we say is kind and nice and wonderful. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 141, 3, set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. And we need to pray that way. Philippians 2, 14 had that this morning. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. And we need to understand Proverbs 12, 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Don't you love to hear a good word? You know, isn't it a great blessing? You know, you can hear 10 compliments in a day and one criticism, and what are you thinking about when you go to bed? You're thinking about that criticism, aren't you? And be one that's uplifting and a blessing. Encourage these boys and girls, and encourage this staff that's spending so much time training these boys and girls, and give a word of encouragement to them. I think what Paul meant here in Galatians 4, I think he meant go ahead and send an email. Just seeing if you're listening. And maybe a text or something to where you could be an encouragement to somebody. Let your speech be that way. Be kind about what you say. As they often say growing up, we heard our parents say this, if you can't say anything nice at all, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything nice. Don't say anything at all. I can't even get it squared away. Folk love it when you mess. When preachers mess up, people just love that. And it's so he gives a request. He gives a reminder. And then he goes down through a long list of names here. And I don't take the time to go through all of this long list of names. I want to just lift a couple of them out, and then I want to focus on one. We'll close. I look at verse 10 and I read, Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. Now Marcus was Mark, of course. John Mark at Pamphylia, the area was rough and rugged and the people were illiterate and the gospel didn't flourish there. And Mark, on that missionary journey, he left. He just took off. He said, I can't take this. And he went back home to mama. And there was a great split between Barnabas and Paul over the issue about Mark. And Barnabas, of course, sailed off Crete, and of course, their journey went on. And I believe that Barnabas rehabbed, if you will. He helped Mark about the ministry. Someone has said that sometimes an ugly colt will make a good horse. And sometimes, you know, you see people and think, well, they're not going to amount to much. Look what they did. They failed. Who hasn't? Amen. And there was John Mark who went back. And we understand that. But isn't it wonderful? You read 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and you read where Paul said, take Mark with you for he's profitable. Bring him to me. He's profitable to me for the ministry. He had got past that. And you know, we can throw people by the wayside. Let's don't bury our wounded. Let's help them. Amen. And so here was a great admonition. I was thinking about some young people. The other day I was talking to Dr. Toole over here about a couple of young people, and I had Dr. Gibbs Jr. meet with these two young people, two young men. And I said, take them out, would you, and talk to them, see if you can help them. They were away from God, I think as far away as could be. And when he got done, I called him. I said, well, what do you think? I said, who's the leader of the two of them? He said, neither. They're just both bad. One of them was my son. And another one who's my son who's started a church now. Another one is the executive pastor at Brother Randy Toole's brother's church in Baltimore, Maryland. They got out of my car, both of them, one time. I was sobbing as only dads can sob. And I said, you guys have become prodigals, and nothing moved them. They were as cold as could be, but God brought them back around. Amen. Don't ever write somebody off. They're breathing, and they're still living, and that heart's still pumping. You keep praying. Amen. And my wife and I, we prayed and sobbed and prayed till we couldn't pray hardly anymore. And God worked in both of their lives. And what a testimony. And what a blessing it is. Never give up on someone. I read about him here. I read also down here another name given to us in Luke or in Colossians 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Here's a sad name because here now Demas at one time is serving the Lord, and you read a little bit later on where Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Isn't it sad when somebody falls by the wayside? What a heartache that is. And may we understand that but for the grace of God, there would go any of us. And keep praying for them, as with Demas, who's serving the Lord. There may be somebody here tonight serving the Lord that the devil will trip up, and we need to do everything we can to keep that from happening. Be the kind of encouragement and help we can. But we read Demas's name here. And so we have a request and we have a reminder, and then we have a realization in verse 17. And say to Archippus, verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now this epistle is unusual in that it was addressed to the church at Colossae, but it was to be read to the Laodicean church and to a church in Hierapolis and another town, I believe, as well. It was kind of a, you know, kind of one of those emails that forward this along, you know, just, you know, I think it was to be read in circle. I think it was to be taken to each one of those churches and read there. Now, no one knows exactly the position that Archippus had or held. Some think that he might have been the pastor at the church at Laodicea. It's unusual here that Paul does not address him specifically, but he addresses the church to address him. Now, in Philippians chapter number 3, Dr. Parker had, he addressed those two women directly in Philippians 4 and verse number 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. But he doesn't address Archippus directly. He says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now, we see his name mentioned in Philemon, verse number 2, the only other place where it's mentioned. Now, maybe it's we don't know exactly what his ministry was, so that we could put another name in there. Say to your pastor, encourage your pastor. We want you to finish well. We're praying for you and we love you. Say to them. Some think that he was chiding Archippus, and he may have been. Maybe if he was the pastor of the Laodicean church and had grown lukewarm, was neither hot nor cold, maybe he was saying, help fire him back up. You know, help stir up this man of God, this man who's involved in ministry, that he fulfill it, that he'll finish it. Someone has said, if you flaw at the finish, there must have been a problem at the first. And I don't know what may have been going on here with Archippus, but we need to take heed to the ministry. Everybody here has a ministry. Everybody here. You're an usher, take heed to it. Take heed to that ministry that thou fulfill it. My dad was an usher at our church. I had to train him a bit. And one time during the invitation, he was back here in the back talking to a lawyer during the invitation. And years before, he just started ushering. And I had told him, I said, now don't talk during the invitation. You sit back there and stand back there as you're going to usher. And he's talking, and I said, hey, you guys back in the back, quit talking. I didn't call his name. I didn't say, hey, Dad, it's time for me to get to tell you to be quiet. And I didn't tell him. I didn't say that. I didn't sing him out. He came marching down. The service over. He said, I want you to know I'm done. And I said, well, Dad, isn't that a good spirit? He said, you singled me out. I said, I didn't call your name. I said, you're back there talking. You know you're not supposed to be talking during the invitation. We're trying to get people down the aisle. He said, I know that. But I'm embarrassed. I said, well, you shouldn't have been talking. And he began to cry. My dad did. My dad's in heaven now. And I said, Dad, I don't want you to quit. I want you to just do the best job you can. I want you to fulfill the ministry that God's given you. And he said, can I have my job back? I said, I never took it from you. He said, all right. He said, I promise I'll quit talking during the invitation. I said, good. But been like he used to do me, he'd say, my dad would always say, Dad, I'm going to do right. When? Now, just anytime you'll quit spanking me, you know. And when? I want you to fulfill the ministry God's given to you, everybody here. You ladies and folks that work so hard fixing meals and doing different things here, don't imagine your work's any less important than the work that's being done in any other place. I know sometimes people have more visibility. I get that. We understand that. But I tell you, your ministry is just as important for you to fulfill it as it is for my ministry to be fulfilled. Don't ever imagine that you don't matter. Every member of the body is important. Every member of this body is like another church. The body is important. The foot can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee. The eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of thee. God has put it all together so that the work of God can go forward. May I say to you, let me encourage you to the ministry which you have received. You see, God has a ministry for everybody, and you've received that. God's put it, entrusted you with it. He's given it to you, and take good care of it, lest you lose it and someone else. Demas, he lost it. He lost it. He walked away from it. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. Don't let the devil get a beachhead. Fulfill what God's given to you. When I started Temple Baptist Church, I wanted to be 40 years. That was my goal, 40 years, 26 when I started Temple Baptist. Coming up on our 38th anniversary, and I just unveiled our Should the Lord Tarry is coming 9 more years. So I'm going to go beyond that. I want to go beyond that if the Lord will allow me to live. And may I say to you, fulfill the ministry that God's given to you. Don't always be looking for this or that or the other. Just do the best you can at the jobs given to you. I said, let me walk in the fields. He said, nay, walk in the town. I said, there are no flowers there. He said, no flowers but a crown. I said, but the sky is black. There is nothing but noise and din. But he wept as he sent me back. There is more, he said, there is sin. I said, but the air is thick and fogs are veiling the sun. He answered, yet hearts are sick and souls in the dark undone. I said, I shall miss the light and friends will miss me, they say. He answered me, choose tonight if I am to miss you or they. I pleaded for time to be given. He said, is it hard to decide? It will not seem hard in heaven to have followed the steps of your guide. I cast one look at the field and set my face to the town. He said, my child, do you yield? Will you leave the flowers for the crown? Then into his hand went mine, and into my heart came he. And I walk in a light divine, the path I'd feared to see. Finish it. Finish it. Fulfill it. Be everything God would have it to be. And may we all be an encouragement to one another. Say to Archibus, say to somebody, I love what you're doing. Thank God for you doing. The sound people and the AV people, all the folks, everything that goes on. It's a great team effort here. Say to them, I love what you're doing. Thank God for you. I want to see you finish. Let's bow our heads. Father, so much to be done, and we even pray for more. We pray for a wider door of utterance. We pray for a greater opportunity to spread the gospel. Help us to fulfill everything that you have given for us to do until you come or call us home. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.